Matt Velasquez, who I think I had a little more fun than he did at the Bucks game last night. Good win for the Bucks, Matt. How are you?
Hi, Matt.
I'm great. I think you definitely had more fun than I did. That's for sure.
Hey, I was pumped when DJ Wilson hit his first three.
Yeah.
Me and the guy that I was with, we stood up and were cheering. And DJ, you know, put the three up, and he was looking in the crowd for anybody. And it was when we were up there. So I made eye contact with him last night from the seats, and that's no small feat.
So he acknowledged you.
Yeah, oh, I was having a blast.
Okay.
I mean, that sounds like a good reason to have a blast. It sounds like a fantastic experience.
You know, it's always good when you get acknowledgement from, like, an athlete or somebody in con. Like, one time I got acknowledgement from Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates. I said, man, you are sitting in the front row. Great. And he said, thanks, man. So, yeah.
That sticks with you.
It does. So whether it's Daryl Hall or DJ Wilson, man, hitting the three. Yeah, I saw when he's walking down court, when he's running down court doing that last night.
Never mind that I've interviewed DJ Wilson a few times.
Yeah.
You know, forget all that.
Yeah, but
he looked at me when I was in the stands.
He looked at you as fanboy last night, media member. So,
Your media hat was off. The fan hat was on. It's totally allowed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good, thank you.
We all do that, man. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, talk about this Chris Middleton situation. Do you think it's anything connected with what happened on Saturday night with him getting benched by Bud?
No, I don't think it's connected at all. At least the people I've talked to have told me that it has nothing to do with basketball. I mean, the team didn't know, Bud didn't know until like 90 minutes before the game. So, I mean, it's hard for it to be related if Bud didn't know until like 5:30 yesterday. I think there was probably just some type of personal issue that came up unexpected. It's obviously, you know, it's never a great time if it's something that is serious enough to take you away from a basketball game. But, you know, it's obviously not great timing in terms of, you know, coming off a game where he was benched. But they had 3 days to clear the air. They did that. They moved on. So I don't think it's connected at all. It's just kind of interesting timing for something like that to happen.
Are there concerns about his fit in the system? I mean, to bench Chris Middleton, we're talking so much over the last couple of weeks about how he could be a $25 million, $30 million man, but when Chris Middleton then gets benched in a game where, you know, they end up losing and probably could have used him, I think that says a lot. But also, if you've got a problem and you're Coach Budenholzer, let's try to correct that early.
Yeah, I don't think there's any issues with his fit in the system. He fits great. You know, in his numbers, if you look at his per 36 numbers, because obviously he's playing a little bit less this year, just because everybody's playing a little bit less than they did last year in terms of him, Giannis, Wetzel, all that. His per 36 numbers are career highs. He's doing well. He still has like the same or similar usage rate. He's still getting all of his offensive touches, maybe in different places, not as many pick and rolls or ISOs or mid-range shots, but he's shooting like 42% from three and fitting really well. I think the issue on Saturday had to do with effort, and that doesn't matter what system you're in. If you're not giving effort and if you're, you know, being lazy on the defensive end, I don't think any coach is really going to like that. And so, you know, Mike Budenholzer made the choice to sit him down for the fourth quarter in overtime. I asked him on Monday if he ever thought about bringing Chris back, and his one-word answer was nope. And so he kind of just let it go. They talked about it on Monday in a one-on-one film session before practice, and, you know, everything was water under the bridge.
You know, after the Charlotte game, after Bledsoe threw up a three, toward a kind of desperation three to try to tie that game at Charlotte a week ago Monday, I saw Budenholzer go right up to Middleton after the game, and he was very direct about something on the court. So I was like, I don't know if you noticed that game, but if there was maybe a problem between the two.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that last play of that game. Middleton caught the ball in rhythm with a guy kind of close to him, but definitely somebody he could have shot over, and he punted, and he kind of tossed it backward to Bledsoe for a deeper, much harder three that he had to really rush. And I would expect that the message from Budenholzer there was, shoot the ball.
Yeah,
like, okay. You know, Middleton hadn't had necessarily a great night shooting. I think he was a little bit just kind of like, you know, just ill-prepared for taking a shot at that moment. Maybe he was lacking a little bit of confidence, but in that moment, you got to let it fly. I think I would guess that would be what it was about.
I think last night, outside of it being the DJ Wilson game, when the Bucks win 115-92 over the Pistons, Eric Bledsoe, I mean, if he played in that fourth quarter, he could have flirted with 40 and maybe even more. I just, it's fascinating to me with the fan hat on here, Matt, that he went from, like, in the non-Giannis category, of course, he went from, like, my least favorite Buck after that series against the Celtics to maybe my favorite, because he is definitely motivated to play this year. Is there a chance? I know that the Bucks' kind of recent track maybe derailed it a little bit, but is there a chance we could see him in the All-Star game?
I think it's possible. I mean, you look at the way All-Star voting tends to go, and I think teams that are at the higher end of the standings get a little bit more recognition, and their players get a little extra look. As the number two seed right now, I mean, you know that Giannis is an automatic All-Star. That's not even a question. But, you know, I think Middleton gets some buzz for that. But Eric Bledsoe, you know, he's been doing a lot of really good things this year. I mean, a lot of his numbers, like Middleton, are at or near career highs. And he's really just making good decisions. He's been a solid contributor and really a guy who they really count on in the fourth quarter. And if coaches are looking at that, he's not, obviously not going to get the fan vote. Maybe not obviously, but, you know, there's a low chance that he's getting that fan vote to be a starter. But, you know, when the coach is looking to fill out the teams and looking for guys that they think that are worthy this season, I think his name should definitely be in the discussion, at least based on what he's done so far.
Yeah, you know, I don't feel like the Bucks, after they play a poor game, they usually come back the next night and play very well. You don't see them get into a rut for too many games, do they?
No. I mean, they've literally won every game after a loss this season. So they're 7-0 after a loss. Mm-hmm. And that started after their first loss, where they went to Boston and they dropped that game, and immediately they were like, hey, we need to get this back. And they lose to Portland. And, you know, they were talking before their first game against the Warriors. You know, they really took that one to heart, you know, losing by 15 in Portland in a game that, you know, wasn't all that close. But that's something that we haven't seen from them before. You know, in the past, they'd be like, oh, you know, losses happen. We'll correct it. We'll get better. But this time it's like they take umbrage. Like anytime they lose, like, hey, we know we blew that game. We know we could have done better. And we know that, you know, we have more talent than that and we need to really pick it up. And to their credit, they've done that.
You know, talking about taking umbrage, anytime anyone makes a play on Giannis ever, he does not approve. He'll come right back there and try to slam it and poster that guy on the next possession. And there was a little instance in New York on Saturday where he said he wanted to kick the guy in the nuts, Hezonja. Then he had to walk that back a little bit. That had to be interesting to actually hear him say that on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't tell if he actually did say nuts or he said something else. I had to listen to it a million times. Eventually, we had to get, like, confirmation that that's actually what he said. You know, I was standing right there. I still couldn't totally get it, but I was like, oh, he said that? Okay. That's interesting. And, you know, and walking it back, I don't think he really walked it back so much as he said, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that in the sense that kids are looking up to me and I don't want them repeating it, but I stand by everything I said and I won't take anything back.
He did not like that, did he, though? I mean, the guy walking right over him.
No. I mean, in the NBA, that's like a known sign of disrespect. I mean, it's kind of like an unwritten rule in baseball. But I think it's more of just like a pride, like manly thing. You don't want someone like stepping over you and just kind of saying, hey, like, I'm better than you. Look at you. You know, there on the ground, I'm stepping over you. Hezonja easily could have walked around. He like stared Giannis down, intentionally stepped over him. And the fact that Giannis didn't react in real time, I actually was surprised by. So the fact that he, you know, restrained himself from throwing any punches or doing anything else like that, I get credit to him because not everybody would do that.
I think Giannis was shocked. I think he was stunned.
Yeah, I think so. Who's this guy stepping over me?
Who's this guy? Yeah. Although he came back last night, he dunked on Blake Griffin and got in Griffin's face.
Real big stank face.
How about that? Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was definitely one of the more electric moments of the night. And the thing about Giannis is I feel like a lot of us are kind of used to that. Like, he dunks on people all the time. Like, you almost take it for granted. Sometimes you have to, like, sit back and go, wow, like, he just did that. That was really impressive.
Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, normally joins us on Wednesdays, 8 o'clock. That's when we'll talk to him next week. Bucks have the Warriors tomorrow night and the Raptors on Sunday. Should be an interesting weekend. Matt, we appreciate it. We will talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good.